Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus the Christ. This past Friday and Saturday, along with Jerry and Rose Webb, there they are, I had the privilege of attending the Southwest California Synod Assembly. And one of our speakers was the director of Lutheran Disaster Response for our church denomination. Given the devastating wildfires that impacted our synod this year, she shared powerful insights into how our church responds to crises like this. She spoke about two types of disasters, conventional and unconventional. And conventional disasters are those we often think of when we hear the word disaster, wildfires and earthquakes and hurricanes. These are events we tend to prepare for, even conducting drills on what to do when they strike. Then there are the unconventional disasters, and these are equally destructive, yet they are created by human hands. Things like terrorist attacks, school shooting, civic violence, and the complexities of migration and refugee resettlement. These are devastating events that often arrive without warning and leaving us feeling very vulnerable. Whether conventional or unconventional, disasters ultimately bring hurt, acting as destructive forces that leave us feeling powerless and hopeless. In our scripture today, we witness both types of disaster unfolding. Consider Paul and Silas. They experience what we might call civic violence, an unconventional disaster born from human actions. They stand before civil authorities because they disrupted the owners of a slave girl whose ability to foretell the future brought them money. And for this, Paul and Silas are dragged and beaten and thrown into jail. Then, while they are in prison, a conventional disaster strikes, an earthquake. The scripture tells us that it was so violent that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And we don't know the full extent of the damage to the surrounding homes or if roofs collapse. But what we know is that this earthquake miraculously liberated Paul and Silas along with all the other prisoners. And for the jailer, this was a devastating event. With all his prisoners gone, he knew he would likely pay with his own life. But before he could harm himself and bring further devastation to his family, Paul stops him and says, "Do not harm yourself, Paul cries, for we are all here." What's amazing is that even in the midst of this event that brought such hurt to Paul and Silas, is the unity that they share, not just with one another, but also with God. We find both of them praying and singing hymns, united in their devotion to God, and this unity in turn serve as a powerful witness to those around them, including other prisoners. And so this brings us to the gospel reading where Jesus, knowing his disciples will face future persecutions and civic violence and even death, offers a profound prayer. He prays for his disciples and for us that even in devastating events, God's presence and God's love will be revealed to them. He prays that they would continue to be one so that their unity itself will bear witness to the presence and love of God within them. This prayer is not just an abstract unity, but for a living and breathing oneness that mirrors the unity of the Father and the Son. It's a unity that allows God's love to be known in the world. So, a question to reflect on today: where have you experienced God's presence and the gift of unity, similar to what we see in Paul and Silas? When you have gone through a devastating event, perhaps in your own life, whether conventional and unconventional. Our presiding bishop, Elizabeth Eaton, reminded us this week, churches and pastors, of the anniversary of the death of George Floyd. His death, a black man choked by a police officer, was a devastating event that disrupted communities in profound ways across our nation. When this happens, at the time I was serving a congregation in Santa Ana, and I was connected at the time with a network of interfaith clergy, which means a diverse group of Christians and Jewish and Muslims leaders. And even with our different religious views, we came together for the well-being of the community, focusing on racial justice and economic justice and environmental justice. And so our group was organizing an event in downtown Los Angeles to provide prayer during a time when many people were angry, frustrated, when peaceful protests had sometimes escalated. So I committed to being there in my clergy attire. And once I arrived, it felt like a war zone. A helicopter hovered over us. And on one side, people held banners with Black Lives Matter. And on the other side, there were signs that says All Lives Matter. And then the presence of a powerful police. But right in the middle of all of this was a stage and 9 leaders from different faith traditions that stood there. And I was among many clergy that who were asked to stand around this stage. And the leaders on each stage invited everyone to bow their heads and pray. And so they led everybody in 9 minutes of prayer. And all the noise ceased at that moment. And so it was a moment that acknowledged the brokenness of our society, but also we asked for peace and unity in the midst of such a devastating event. And so this unity born of shared purpose and prayer provided an honest witness to the presence of God in the world, right? And so after that, we were all invited to sing. And many join in Christian hymns like This Little Light of Mine, right? Everybody knows This Little Light of Mine. Are we going to sing that today?
Yeah.
Okay, not today, next week. But Jesus, in this prayer, he offers to his disciples and to us, promises a continuing presence in our lives. Even as we disagree on things, even as we experience devastating events, whether a natural disaster that shakes our homes or a human-made tragedy that shakes our souls, Jesus' prayers for unity is made possible by his abiding presence. It's a presence that offers us unity and healing and hope over and over again. So may we continue to receive and be empowered by Jesus' healing presence, so that we too can serve as a witness to the grace of God in this divided world. Amen.